I love the Word of God. How many of you love the Word of God? Active, more active than a two-edged sword. Amen? Amen? And the Lord said to say to you not tonight, and I've been saying this in several places, that the Lord says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Amen? And that's out of Proverbs 25:11. When the word is spoken, and you know it's from God, you know that it won't come back void. Amen? Amen. It will bring back much fruit. Much, much fruit. Amen? I want to read a scripture to you that the Lord has given me, and I pray that you will have ears to hear. I pray that you'll start putting two and two together. Amen, and it's not three. It's four. And the number four represents a door, and God's opening some doors right now. And the Lord is saying he can use you if you'll position yourself to be in the part of this next season of time. We have seasons where it's the apostolic. We've seen the season of the apostolic move across America. Apostolic clubs, apostolic gatherings, apostolic conferences. We've had prophetic conferences and the prophetic and the office of prophetic operating. We've seen those seasons of time. And we've seen the church, you know, get upset. Is there apostles today? Yes, there is. Is there women apostles? Yes, there is. I'll tell you, an apostle is one sent. One sent. You can figure it out. What is one sent? That's generally a missionary. And generally that missionary is one sent just to go and speak and take your money and run. That speaker, that teacher, that groundbreaker is going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back until the Lord says, okay, they can do it on their own. Amen? The prophet is the one that just listens to God and speaks what God says. That prophet is also a prophet who will take the word of God and speak it out. Amen? And it will not come back void. Amen? Amen? That prophet will speak those things that aren't as if they are. And I promise you, things are going this way and you don't like the way it's going, don't just keep saying we're going this way or it's going to keep going that way. No, you say it's going to go this way. Amen? Speak that which isn't as if it is, and you watch what God will do with it. Amen. I promise you it won't come back void. Amen? Amen? The teacher, we've had movements of teachers and great teachers that have come down the pike. Amen? Seasons of pastors, just a movement of pastor after pastor after pastor, pastor after pastor. And we're in a season of time where pastors are quitting more than you can even imagine. We did a conference up in Ketchikan, and Pastor Levin was up there, him and his wife, in Ketchikan. And he was given all these statistics. You can get online and listen to what he had to say. But he said that he got reports that 1,700 pastors are resigning a month right now. 1,700. Amen? What's wrong? And it's because of moral reasons, by the way. Moral reasons. And we're letting them go. We're letting them go. We're not going after them. They can be restored. Everybody can be restored. Amen? That's what the body of Christ is about. Amen? Where are our men and women going? What has the devil done to them that's so bad that they can't be redeemed? Amen? This is a year of redemption. This is the 21st century. It's a year of redemption for the whole century. Amen? Amen. Claim it. But now it is the season of evangelism. And a movement of evangelism that's going to be over the top of what happened in Toronto, what happened in Florida, what happened at Azusa Street Revival. And by the way, I have roots into that. I have roots into what happened in California. My great-grandparents, brought my grandma over during the Azusa Street Revival. They were in Texas with Douglas Frederick, The African-American that was in Texas, and God put it on his heart to go out to California. He was probably the main leader of that whole movement there in California. And my great-grandparents said, we're going with him. We're going to help him. They opened a store just down the street, a little mom-and-pop store with another couple, and they built that little store up, and they were at that church every day. They'll tell you, they were telling how there'd just be piles of glasses because they were healing eyes just like that. If you go back in history and read about it, that's some of my roots. Out of the Azusa Street Revival, you know what church came out of it? The Assemblies, the Nazarenes, what is that other one? Four Squares Church. They all came out of that. Pew jumping, hopping, tongue speaking, crazy charismatics. Amen? I'm one. Praise the Lord. Jesus was a charismatic. I claim it. I'll claim whatever it is Jesus is because he lives in me, and I'm not going to be ashamed of him, and he's not going to be ashamed of me. Amen? Amen? So, we're in a movement of evangelism. I was flying back from Europe. I'd just been to 19 countries. We're flying back. I'm exhausted. It was that year that I had a bad stroke. It wasn't my last one, but I had a bad stroke. I had a stroke down here one time. I was doing a meeting in McConnellsville, a 3-day conference in McConnellsville, and the second night in it, in the middle of the night, I had a stroke. I woke up. I knew I had a stroke. I knew it was affecting my language. The only one that knew I had a stroke, the only one that knew that something was wrong was the pastor that was hosting me. And he went to Lisa and he said, is there something wrong with Nancy? Something's happened to her. And I nursed it all the way home and I got better. I didn't do anything about it. I mean, I had doctors on it, but they just didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to stop it. We didn't know what to do. They ran all kinds of tests. They couldn't figure out what was causing it other than I had a gene in my blood that shouldn't have been there. That's the only thing. But it still wouldn't cause the strokes, they didn't believe. I don't know. But anyway, God is my hero. So anyway, I'm coming back on the plane, and I came through some revelations while I was going through that, because when you have strokes like that, it's like heart attacks. It scares you. You don't know when the next one's going to happen, and you don't know how bad it's going to hurt. Not that I'm afraid of pain, but I just didn't want to be out on the road and be a problem. And my husband, when we traveled, everywhere we go, he already has made provision. I travel on an old American Express card that I have got grandfather rights. Wherever I travel, if I get sick on the road, American Express pays my bills. And I had to take advantage of that one time when I went to Canada. And they took care of everything. Everything. And when they started that out, Henry paid the extra money for it as an insurance. And then when they changed it, they don't do it anymore. All the ones that were involved in it got grandfathered in. So I still have that. You know, everybody buys their tickets when they go through the Delta credit card or this credit card or that. I do the old American Express card. They honor us. And I'm taken care of, but that's not the only thing that Henry does. He makes sure that's taken care of, but he also, whatever country I'm going into, he makes sure that they have good neurologists and that I know where to go if anything happens. I have my own blood checker. I'm a little mini blood checker. I have to do my INR every week to make sure my blood levels do not go down below a 2. They go down below a 2, they go, I'll start having strokes. So I have to travel needles that go that deep into my stomach. They're painful. They're very horrendously painful. And I have to travel with those because if my blood gets down to a 2 and I'm in a range of between 2 and 3, you go over 3, your blood's too thin, and then you're starting to bleed internally. So I'm playing this game with time, and God is taking care of me. Amen? Amen? And I check it. I am careful what I eat, but I'm very happy. I'm a little plump, and I'm happy with that. I don't want to get any skinnier. I'm afraid I'll start getting sick. But at this time, I was afraid of everything. And I thought I was covering it up pretty good because God asked me to do it. But at every corner, I was worried. I was concerned. I did not want to have a stroke on the road. Would I make it home? Would I make it home? And the doctors would say, you know, if you have a stroke in the airplane, you're done for. And look at all the traveling that we do. Amen? But I'm going to do what he's asked me to do because he asked me to do it. I'm not doing it because I got some brainy idea that I need to do this. I don't even think that way. In fact, to live is Christ, to die is to gain, and that's my testimony, okay? So I'm not afraid to die, but at this time, I was concerned, but halfway through the trip, I finally had to confess to Sarah, repent to Sarah, and I quit acting like a baby and dragging my bottom and started keeping up with her, and I mean, that's the only time. She's usually trying to keep up with me. But anyway, but it was a growing up time. I mean, we all come through those testing periods, don't we? Don't we all go through that test? We have different kinds of tests, but we have them. And God's just checking us out how much he can trust us. Amen? And he wants me to love him more than anything and be obedient. And that's what the bottom line is. Obedience. Better than sacrifice. And so we're coming in. And the reason I'm telling you this is I am bushed. I mean, we were going by train, plane, boat. We were in Malta. We started in Spain. We Ricky raced all over Europe and ended up going on around, going to Croatia, going into Greece, then going over to Albania, then going back to Greece, and all the countries in between. And I told you the other night how the reaction was, and they wanted to know what the heck we were doing. And I'll tell you, you go out of this country and go anywhere, because of your passport and your visas, everybody, every country you're going into, they immediately know where you've been and what you're up to. And I've got so many countries stamped in my passports, and I've had to add attitude, and it's like when I go to their country, they're like, you know, and where are you staying, and where are you going, and why are you here? I'm here to pray. I'm going to pray for your capital. And they'll go, well, why? Well, some places I have to just tell them a little bit of white lie. I go, we're both retired teachers, and we're just doing a bucket list. There, isn't that good? We're both retired teachers. Sort of not a white lie, but, I mean, that really just cools them. I mean, two older women out traveling, that would be a logical thing, wanting to go to the capitals and take pictures. No, we're not spies. The worst thing I ever did is, you know, the packages of tuna that they have in the foil that you get Starkist or whatever. A lot of times, you know, you don't want to eat the food in the places that you're at. You don't know what you're getting, and especially not eating salads or fruit or anything like that unless you can get somewhere and really wash it well. And it better be good water. Otherwise, you're going to have diarrhea problems and all those issues, right? So Sarah and I make sure we buy the good bottled water, and we travel with these little packets of tuna. We'll pick up potato chips or nuts or whatever in the airports, almonds, whatever. And sometimes that's what we eat. And I've only had one time, one country I went into, and it was Australia, and I had maybe about 15 packages of those, and we were doing a lot of countries. Australia was just one of them. And they go, are you carrying anything? And I said, I'm carrying Starkist in the frozen packets, the freeze-dried packets, tuna. And, of course, the person freaked out. I was bringing meat into their country and freaked out. And this other guy comes up and he tells me what's going on, because they're telling me, get my suitcase open, they're going to take it. And this guy comes up and he goes, no, you're not going to take it. She's diabetic. He said, I am. She needs that. Let her go. Amen? By the way, I'm not diabetic anymore. Amen? But if they want to say that, they can go for it. Anyway, so as I'm flying into the American airspace, and Sarah and I are flying down to Fort Myers because we have some meetings down there, and then we're going to head up to Georgia. Well, as we're flying into the airspace, the Holy Spirit says to me, Nancy, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you about a few things. And I went, okay. I'm looking out the window, and he goes, you know, first, thank you for doing those countries. He said, I need to tell you something. I said, okay. He said, I'm about to bring a shaking. He said, you'll experience in about a month. And I said, okay. I said, what's going on? And he said, when I bring the shaking, it's not only going to be in the spirit, it's going to be in the natural. And he said, when that shaking takes place, he said, it'll be as if you see a wall, and it's a fence that you're claiming that you're walking every day of your life, and the fence line divides you between the church and the world. Let's just bring it down to that level, the church or the world. Either you're for God or you're against him. There's no in between. And the church has been going back and forth and back and forth. And I mean, we just have kind of watered down. And I know a lot of strong men and women that are Christians that they will not cross over. Their values will not change. Amen. But I know a lot of Christians that their values are different. On Sunday, better than thou, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they do whatever they want. It's okay, you know, because God isn't like he was in the Old Testament. I hear that. I can't tell you how much I hear that. And so our kids that are growing up, our kids that are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, they're walking in a form of godliness but have no understanding of the power within them. And so when something comes along that tempts them, you can't expect them to respond like Jesus did and said, "Isn't it written?" I can't do that. This is what God said. Isn't it written that this is what's going to happen? They don't have that in them. We're not teaching that in our children, and most of our children across America are not in church today. Trust me, I've been there. I mean, when I go to a church and there's kids, generally there's a school there. It's very rare. Maybe one or two families have children in the church, but they don't even have a children's program. And you know, he says, "Suffer not the children." And you're wondering where the children are today. Amen? So he goes back to talking about this fence. He said the fence for years has had, you know how you have a fence and you have this board that comes up here on the top and you can lean on it, put stuff on it? He said that's how the church has been in America. And he says, and the Christians have just been running back on that board and being able to go to the right or the left whenever they want, whatever they felt. They want to feel religious today, that's fine. Tomorrow they don't. Okay? I remember one time, and I know you guys are going to be mad at me at this, but I was over in England, and I was doing a meeting, or was it in Germany? It was in Germany. And I did this meeting, and everybody was excited about the meeting, so they planned another meeting. Well, it happened to be, it was the World Cup, and the World Cup, one of the games, was that night that I was going to speak, and it was between Italy and Germany, and Germany did lose that night. But that's where I was speaking, is at this home, and most of the men, you know, I mean, we had a barbecue, and they just loved me, and they said they would be there, but they were watching the clock, I mean, they were eating or whatever, and like tonight, you know, I'm letting them all get to share, and that's part of this ministry, I'm bringing everybody together and sharing their gifts, amen? And so, by the time it got to me, they were going around the room saying their names, and as soon as they were finished, they said, "Well, Nancy, I'm going to get up and walk out probably while you're speaking because the World Cup is starting, and I want to go home and watch it." And it went all the way around the room. Remember, were you there? Yes. I'm trying to think. Was Uta with us at that time? Uta and Liz. Anyway, I was like, "Oh, man, don't do that. I don't care if they go home and play a game." I mean, my husband does not watch football. He does not watch basketball. He's not into really any sports except when they have the Olympics. He really likes track and field. That's what he did in college. He held the record for the pole vaulting at Portland State for years and years and years. He loved pole vaulting. He even, on the side, taught coaching in Alaska for pole vaulting until they finally said they couldn't do pole vaulting in Alaska anymore. They don't even do it anymore. But anyway, and I don't know that a lot of schools do pole vaulting anymore, but that was my husband's sport. But as far as the football, basketball, any of that, I mean, every wife I know, I mean, their husbands, I mean, Sunday is football night, and during the week, there's football night, and it's like you don't interrupt them, and it's like my husband has never been like that. My granddaughter came to live with us when she was, 8 years old or 9 years old. When she came to live with us, well, she's always running down, turning the football game on. Henry goes, "What is the deal with the football game? I don't want it in my house. I don't want it in my house. I don't want it on." And she goes, but that's what my dad used to do, is watch football all the time. Henry goes, "Well, I don't watch football. It's just a time sucker. And, you know, turn that TV off." You know, he would do that, you know. It's like, I was raised with my brothers and my dad, football on during Thanksgiving and over the holidays. I mean, I was raised with it. But when I married Henry, he wasn't into it. So I really understood when the men wanted to watch football because of my mom or my dad and my brothers and whatever. Anyway, Sarah likes football. Sarah likes basketball. Amen? She was a basketball player. She had a scholarship for basketball, her and her sister both. But anyway, my point being is that by the time it got all the way to the, around the room, a kid about your age, he stands up and he goes, "I'm ashamed to even say I'm a man in this room. Shame on you guys. We got this woman all the way from Alaska here in Germany to bring the gospel, and you guys got to watch football or whatever. Soccer. And the men go, and the kid sits down and start to speak. None of them moved. They did not go. I mean, some of them went to the phone and called their wives and said, "Record it." I didn't know what was going on. It would not have hurt me if they went. I would have been totally understanding. Look, I'm not that religious. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what, whoever stays, I'll share it. If there was only five of you in this room, yes, I want at least five. Okay, that's grace. If that was all that was in the room, I'd still preach the same way I preach to a house full. Amen? That's how, isn't that the way I've been, Diane, ever since you've known me? That's it. Amen? Learn to be that way. Just expect God to show up. That's the biggie. Amen? Amen? So anyway, that was an awesome time. But here I am in the plane, and he's saying there's going to be a shaking, and that which can be shaken, and that which stands firm will stand firm. Well, I looked in the Bible, and that's in Hebrews. That's in Hebrews 12, 27, and 28. Can I read it to you? It's important that I read it to you so you understand a little bit about what's going on. It actually starts here in Hebrews 12, verse 25. "See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if he did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven." So whatever I'm saying right now, if you don't care what I'm saying, you're not going to care about what God's saying, because I just read his word. Amen? But listen to what the next line is. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this once more indicates that the removal of those things that are to be shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, since we are receiving such a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Well, I want you to know the next month, there was an earthquake. And that earthquake was in South Carolina, right down on the border. And I was coming out, and he told me I would know when it happened. And I was coming out of a restaurant, and I was walking with some ladies, a couple of gentlemen, and when it hit, I went to my knees. I mean, it kind of knocked me to my knees. And I said, "Lord, is that it?" And he said, "That's it." Now, what people don't know is what God did in the spirit is he did a shift in the spirit all around the world. Things are really different and crazy. And the shift wasn't for the good. It's like he said, "I will cause such a shaking that you'll start seeing the sheep and the goats being separated. And the character of the people in this world are going to be as black and white, no longer gray, not any longer running the fence line. You're going to have to start choosing whom your God is." You know, he just quoted right out there what Joshua said. Look at all the things that God did. He said, "But as for me and my house, we serve the Lord." Amen? Amen. So it's like, okay, so I was watching what was happening. I was watching the news, and they did come out and say that literally the world's access shifted. It literally shifted. And you know, when we started losing our planes, we started losing our trains off the tracks, and our ships started getting into international waters, that they were going over boundaries, and their navigation was off track. Those trains that were going off, I mean, didn't it seem like a bunch of trains were just going off the track? Well, they were doing the same thing they've done for years, going the same speed, going around the same corners, but when the axis shifted, things shifted in the natural, and they were going off the track. They were losing their boundaries and off track in the airplanes. and thinking, how did I get over here? Even submarines were coming up because they were in the wrong places out on the high seas. I mean, it was reported and reported and reported. People didn't even recognize or realize what was going on. But God did cause a shift. Amen? And that shift, you should be feeling it pressing in. After that, he said, then I want you to pray the borders of America. And this is after we'd already prayed all the capitals, and we're working on the capitals, you know, beyond. He says, now pray the borders of America. And we prayed the borders of America. I wasn't yippy-skippy about that, but God said, you're going to do it? I'm going to do it. Amen? If I say yes, I'll do it. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know when it was going to start. But if God's in the plans, he makes the way. If God's asking you to do something, just say yes and watch it all fall out. I have proved that over and over, even with my husband, even when it concerns money. I mean, my husband is very, very conservative. He is so stingy with himself. I mean, he would give me anything. He would. But as far as himself, he would be so stingy. And I was supposed to be going to Egypt. And God had told him, not just me, told him, you have to go with Nancy to Egypt. It is very, very serious, and nobody can cover her like you can cover her as her husband. And Henry said, all right, I'll go. But Henry, that was when Henry was starting to show symptoms that he was sick. And we didn't know that he had cancer. And he was starting to plummet, but we didn't know it. There were other symptoms that he was being a little bit, you know how the man doesn't want to go see the doctor, especially about his privates? He wasn't going. I couldn't get him to even consider it. And that's where the cancer was, okay? And so, anyway, so he tells me, no, I am not going to say, yes, I'm going to go, even though he told the Lord he would go with me. He said, I'm not going to go until the money's in the bank. And I said, Henry, it doesn't work that way. That's not faith. You have to believe that he's going to provide. Then you believe with the faith. Then he provides. That's where the trust comes in. Amen? Nope, I need to see the money there. And I said, Henry, I need an answer out of you if you're going to go with me or not. I'm getting ready to go down to Ohio. And if you're not going to go with me, then I'm going to ask one of those men to go and cover me. I was going to ask Russ to do it. And he goes, all right, you're just being stubborn. This is the height of our arguments. You're just being stubborn. I said, no, I'm not being stubborn. It's a fact. He's saying, just say yes and let me prove it to you. And he goes, all right, but the money better be there. And he stomped out of the bedroom. So he said yes. So I get on the plane, and I come down here to Ohio. And when I come down here, I get invited over to a place where I was praying for a family. They had a dream for a daycare. And I didn't know it. I prophesied over them about the daycare. And I prophesied when it was going to come. Well, the next year when I came back, it was built and they had started it. And so they called me to come down. They wanted me to see it. It was finished. They had it built. And so Uta takes me down and I walk through the building and I go right to the restroom, you're a typical woman, right to the bathroom. And she's following me to the door, and when I come out, I walk through this piece of paper, right through my face. And I stopped, and she goes, this is from my sister. And I said, oh, well, it was a check, but I didn't look at it or whatever. I kind of get shy about things like that. And I just folded it and put it in my pocket. She goes, Nancy, you need to look at it. So I pulled it out, I opened it, looked at it, and I shut it, and I thought I saw $1,000 on it. And I went, that's really nice. I'll call her. I'll talk to her. And she goes, look at it again. It was $10,000. Way more than what we needed to go to Egypt. She says, now listen. She said, my sister wants you to have that for you. That's not for your ministry. That's for you to do whatever you want with it. I said, really? Usually I just put everything into Point of Hope or just give it away anyway. But it was like, wow. I went to lunch, and Uta's out there sitting at the table. I go in the bathroom, and I, Henry, guess what? Guess what? Just hold your ears down. Did you say yes about Egypt? And he said, yes, but the money better be there. I said, it's there. You got $5,000. Just whatever you want to do with it. You have $5,000. My ticket was already paid. And he goes, I could hear him crying on the other end. He just was blown away. So then what happens is, I took the other $5,000 and I just divided it up on for all the team members and gave them, all my leaders, $500 apiece. Just to bless them, because I was blessed. It was my money. I could do what I want with it, right? I did ask Henry if I could do that. He's my covering. He's my husband. But I said, if you don't mind, you can have $5,000, but I want the other $5,000. I'm going to give it to the girls. I'm going to divide it up. So anyway, so then we went to Egypt. We got to go to Egypt. Amen? And here he goes, he's a preacher. He's up there. He goes, he said, I've tried to have the faith that Nancy has. I tried to have it. He said, but it's a gift. And that's when I realized it is a gift. Faith is a gift. Amen? You can have faith, but there's a supernatural faith that when you start speaking those things that aren't as if they are, and your conviction, your belief is in you, I'll tell you, it's going to happen. What does it say in John 16? It says that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, came to convict us of sin. You know what the sin is? Unbelief. Unbelief. We have to repent for our unbelief and believe that nothing's impossible with God. And by the way, without faith, you will not please God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'll move on from there. So here he's saying, that which can be shaken will be shaken. That which stand firm will stand firm. Well, I pondered that. I wondered about that. I mean, it's always in the Bible. And I know from a little girl, I've heard from different generations, the end of the world, the end of the world, the end of the world, okay? And I'm going, Lord, you've been saying this for a long time. And he says, well, I want you to go to Ezekiel 12, 27, 28. So let's go there. Okay, where is Ezekiel? There you are. Okay. Now, when you look at the background of what God was doing with the purging and Judah's captivity was going to be, it was being portrayed, what was portrayed, and then the judgment is not postponed, because what God is doing is saying, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and the people are just telling Ezekiel, yeah, that's what he's been saying for how long, it's not going to happen, and this is how God responds to it. He says, in verse 26, it says, and again the word of the Lord came to me, this is to Ezekiel. He says, son of man, look at the house of Israel, saying, the vision that he says is for many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore, this is what God's response is. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. We are in this hour hearing the prophets across the land talking about the end times are very, very close. How many of you feel like the end times are very, very close? You won't be a liar, or you won't be showing a lack of faith if you would say, I believe that, because we are always getting closer. We're definitely closer than 2,000 years ago. Wouldn't you agree? And some of you may not be here tomorrow, and it's really going to be close, right? But I'll tell you, the return of Jesus Christ is just around the corner. Just around the corner. Amen? I wonder how many times God was getting ready to send Jesus back, because he's the only one that knows the season, the day, the hour, the moment. I wonder how many times God has changed his mind. Think about that. Our prayers can touch his heart. And I think the greatest prayer we can pray right now, I mean, if you want him to return right now, go ahead, don't do anything. But I'm not ready for him to return. I'm prepared, but I'm not ready. And what I mean by that is there's still a lot of souls out there that won't make it. They're not going to make it if he returns right now. And I'll tell you, that's a big burden on my heart. A huge burden on my heart. I'm not ready. If he chooses to come back, he's ready, so be it. But if I can pray, God, one more soul. How many of you saw that movie, is it Hacksaw Mountain or whatever? Hacksaw Ridge. Just one more, Lord. Just let me save one more. Just one more. I mean, that's a bloody, gruesome movie. But I'll tell you what, I cry like a baby when I watch it. Just one more. That's my heart. God, give me one more. Amen. And if it's not somebody that doesn't know Jesus, it's somebody that their heart is turned against Jesus, and I'm going to go after it. Like the woman that came to my meeting, her daughter dragged her to the meeting, and her heart was so hard. And she said, I'm only here because she wanted me to meet you because she really likes you. But I don't believe in God anymore. My heart is hard toward God. If there was a God, why did he take my husband? Why didn't he even let me say goodbye to him? I was in the hospital waiting room waiting just to get in there to say goodbye to him, and they wouldn't let me go in. She says, is that God? And then she was just so angry, and I just said, let me just sit here and talk to you. And I just sat with her, and I talked to her, and I gently loved her, and I gently told her just all kinds of things that God's reasoning for us. I said, now let me pray for you that God will just heal that hardened heart just a little bit so you can hear what I'm saying. And she let me. And the next night, she came back. This happened at Dean's Church, by the way. And she came from another state, and she had a lot of children. And the children were she was just so bitter and so angry, they didn't even want to be around her, just this one daughter. And she told me, she said, it's awful to be with her. She's so angry. She hates God. You know, she cusses. She's just angry. And I said, well, bring her to me. Bring her to me. So the second night when she comes in, she said she can't sleep at night. And I said, well, just let me pray for your sleep. She slept like a baby and came back the next night. I'm not saying that I've forgiven God for taking my husband. But at least he's on the table. He's on the table where I wouldn't even let him be on the table. And we prayed for her again that night. And then the third night, all the family from the other states came in because their mother was running back and forth underneath that bellow, praising the Lord. She had been totally set free and restored to God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? But see, that's what our job is, not to go, oh, that's an icky person, I don't want to be around him. No, you just ooze him with so much love, amen? So much love, amen. I know that it's late, and I want to tell you more good stuff, but what I'm going to do is go ahead and end it here, and you will want more tomorrow, and I'll go through the steps that will just bless you what God is doing in this hour. I have a place to take you, but meanwhile, I just want to give you something to write down. Can you write this down? God's looking for an army, and you used to be part of the army, and some of you have quit doing some of this stuff, okay? But Lord wants you to arm yourself with a good Bible dictionary, your Bible dictionary. He wants you to get a couple of study Bibles, and I know some of you have some excellent study Bibles that you study. Name your favorite Bible study.
Keyword.
Keyword? What's the one that you love? Pardon? Say it loud.
Bondage Breaker.
How about MacArthur's Bible study? How about an NIV Bible study? Amen? Because you need these study Bibles to help you go from step to step. I have several. I'm not locked into any one Bible. I mean, a man came here the other night, and the first night we were here, he wanted to know what Bible we use here. Nothing had started. What Bible do you use here? And Debbie goes, we use them all. I'll tell you, there's something worthy in all of them. And there's something you're not going to like in all of them. Amen? Amen? But it's okay, because what you do is you take the good, because man tweaked it. But I'll tell you, God breathed the Bible, okay? But if you go back to the Greek and Hebrew, and if you're willing to do that, take that time out, you'll have a greater, even greater understanding of what God is saying, okay? Amen? So I'm encouraging you to do that. Pick out a good Bible, and I recommend the New King James. I love the New King James. I love the NIV. I love the New American Standard. I love that. There's another one that I'm really getting to like. I kind of have fun with it, and it's the Life Essential Study Bible. I've been enjoying that Bible. And at my house, I just have like 6-8 Bibles on my kitchen table. And when I'm studying and I'm praying, working for your workshops, I'm just looking in every direction, you know, just being open to God's leading, you know, not being set in stone over here, because it could be contradictory. And I want them all to kind of line up with the truth. Amen? Okay, so I just wanted to leave that thought with you. And I also want to leave one other thought with you. When the Lord asked me to take this year on the way of the Lord is perfect, okay? The way of the Lord is perfect. Your way is not perfect. I mean, it might be good, it might be right, but God has a better plan, amen? Let God be your coach. And you'll get where you're going. Amen? God is also saying that your testimony means a lot. His testimony, I would not, never denied him to share that testimony. It had to come out of him because it's for his health. It's for his spiritual life. It's for his conviction. But you know what? All of us older Christians, those kind of testimonies stir up our faith. Amen? And we think we had it rough. You know, we have no idea what this young man went through. Amen? You can still feel the brokenness in him. And I did talk to him earlier. He's already shifted the way he thinks about his sister and his mom since I met him. Isn't that true? And what he's going to do and how he can help them and not be angry with them. Start praying for them, because that's the only thing that's going to change it. You can't take the bottle out of their hand. They'll go find another one. Amen? So Sarah and I really ministered to him when he talked to us. Amen? Amen. You're going to do good. Amen? You're going to be a preacher, by the way. How many agree with that? You see it in him? Amen. We're going to pray him through. Both of those young men have the preach on their hearts so much. Amen? Amen. And then thirdly, as I said, the Lord says, make him your shield by trusting him. So between now and tomorrow, whatever your plans are, whatever you're doing, if you've been stretched, let him stretch you a little bit more. Amen? Tomorrow, when we have all these people here during the workshops, and please come, bring friends to these workshops. These people that are coming in doing these workshops are all excellent. The baby, you did excellent, by the way. It was the prayers. I know it was. Remember I said Chris is the only one that had never spoke with us before? He never did anything like that before. Amen? He did excellent. And you got six speakers tomorrow. You get to pick three of them because we have one going on in here, one going on there. Come and be stretched. Come and be encouraged. Amen? And if you can't come, so be it. In a couple of weeks, those pictures or those workshops will be online, and you can listen to them. If you know how to work your computer and you got good connections, you can pull it down and listen to those topics. Amen? Amen? You'll be blessed. But if you got fear going on in your life, rebuke it. Amen? Rebuke it. It saddens God's heart when you're going through fear. If you're dealing with an illness that is causing you fear, God's saying, repent and let me take care of you. Amen? So I'm gonna leave it at that, and I'm gonna be selfish tomorrow night because it'll be our last night, and we probably won't be doing so much more activity other than the worship and thanking our speakers, and then I'm gonna bring you a message so when you go home, you're never gonna forget it. Amen? Amen? I'm gonna talk to you about the book of Mark. And I'm literally going to put a chair up here like this, and I'm going to show you what Mark did in the book of Mark. He said, this is how you've known Mark. This is how you've been reading Mark. Nancy's about to show you my other meanings, and he's going to spin the chair. And I'm going to spin this chair all night long. This is what happened in Mark. This is why Mark said this. This is why Mark wrote that. And you're going to find out what he was really up to when he wrote the book of Mark, and he was the first one to write the Gospels. Amen? So come back tomorrow. Come back for the workshops. Come back because I'll tell you what, they surprised me today. We weren't going to have any food, and they had sandwiches back there and all kinds of goodies. And if you come a distance and you're hungry, you can go back there and help yourself. Amen? Anyway, God bless, and I'll see you tomorrow.